Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser, men are more relationship ready, and if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, and welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. My name is Morgana, and I'm here with my husband, Devin.
Yes, indeed you are.
I have been a best-selling author and mentor coach, life coach, for over 26 years now. I'm best known for relationship with money, but relationship is relationship, and treating money as if it were a hot guy, just really honestly using relationship coaching skills on that area of life. But my real fascination has always been love. So that's why we created this show to focus on love. And Devin, do you want to say anything about yourself?
Not really, but here we are on live radio. So I guess we have to just plow forward. My name is Devin Gallaudet. I am the editor-in-chief of In the Know Traveler, which is an online travel magazine. I am also a love and relationship coach that happened by accident. We'll get into that one of these days, I think. But I, too, am endlessly fascinated not only by love, but how people find redemption and cure the stuff that's inside of them, the challenges that we all deal with and have to move through in life. And so for me as well, talking about love and relationships, I think is perhaps, in my humble opinion, next to travel, are some of the most important things that we can discuss with our time. So we're glad that you're here. I'm lucky enough to be sitting next to my lovely wife. And
wife, how many times now?
Wife of 25 times.
For those of you who don't know, we are 25 weddings deep into a project of getting married 100 times in 100 countries, which was 100% Devin's idea. I spent many a single year during that wasteland of dating, just like shouting to the heavens, I want to travel the world with the love of my life. And I am, at least when it's safe to travel. We're taking a breather with a lot of the world right now, staying safe. And so life is a staycation now, until we get back to traveling. But we are going to be talking about travel on this show because it will open up again. And for some of you, it already has.
Just as a little travel note, I actually just heard from the Cook Islands today. They are claiming that they are COVID-free, but they have completely locked down their borders. So nobody is in or out, at least for the time being, and they didn't express a date. But I think it's good that some destinations are making sure that they get 100% back on their feet before they start allowing tourists to come in.
I am all for being safe because you can have a lot more fun when things are safe. So we have been in the midst of talking about a couple of things, love and connection in relationship, like how to get back into the fun and the connection of a relationship. Unfortunately, we didn't really get to much fun last episode because I'm a famously unfun person, and my husband can tell you all about how not fun I am.
Did you want a list? I feel only marginally not prepared.
So I think we'll talk about that a bit. And I also thought we could talk about our weirdest wedding, which in my book would be Serbia.
Well, we can certainly talk about Serbia. That is for sure. I mean, that's a long story, so we may not even get to the tips that you want if we tell the story. We should tell the story. I think it's a story worth telling. And it certainly was. I don't know if weird. Is it weird?
Well, From my book, it was very, very weird because the wedding party started booing when you started saying your vows, and I'd never heard of such a thing. It was also, because of that, a real sort of insightful moment for me, because that was when I realized how the wedding party and the venue and the dress and all these things that we put so much importance on for a wedding, how none of it mattered. Because people can boo and be drunk and start fights and get all weird.
I don't think anybody knows the context, so we should give them at least some backstory. And you can interrupt me when it gets long-winded.
All right.
All
so
right.
Would you like to get some context?
I would. So the reason why we went to Serbia is because we were going to Croatia, and I have a childhood friend, quite literally, that I knew since like fourth grade. And we were, we were definitely tight, and we knew each other through high school, and I knew his mom well. Anyway, long story short, shortly after his mother passed away, he took her ashes back home to Belgrade, where they were from, and he never left. He got married, he had babies, and, we kind of reconnected on Facebook occasionally, but not very often. And long story short, there was a point where we were planning a trip, and Croatia was really the only certainty at that time. And I started looking at a map and going, oh, geez, we should go to Montenegro. And I thought of some other places that people tend to not
go.
Well,
originally we were going to go to Greece and ended up not going there at all.
Well, because there were just so many other places.
That's the problem with this planet. There are just too many places to go to.
There are too many fantastic places to go to. But so I had posted that, hey, I'm going to Croatia. The only real for sure thing is Dubrovnik.
Which is beautiful.
That's absolutely. It's a beautiful country as a whole. But Dubrovnik, the city, is really, I think, probably one of the most wonderfully preserved cities, ancient cities in the world.
And it looks
really
like
something.
Walt Disney created it. It's so perfect that tourists don't even believe it's real.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable place. But so I put on Facebook, hey, we're going to go to Dubrovnik, and everything else is up in the air. And so I heard from this childhood friend who I hadn't heard from in quite a while, and he said, "Don't you dare come to this part of the world if you don't come see me in Serbia." And so we went from not speaking at all, or very very occasionally, to sort of like we are sending notes back and forth like almost every day. And at some point we were going to meet, and my whole thing was, and so I need to preface this because this is an important component of this bigger story, is that I did not care about any of the other pieces of his life. From the standpoint of like, here was this guy that we used to be in a band together as kids. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I wanted to be in a room and I wanted to hear about his life. And so there was a point in our communications was like, hey, man, while you're here, I want to throw some big parties. I want to have a lot of people and I want lots of parties and, wine should flow and all that stuff. And that sounds great. And I said, well, that sounds great. And really what I want to do is sit in a room with you and catch up for the last 20 years. And he kept saying, no, but we should have a party.
Well, and for me, the introvert, tons of parties with wine flowing just sounds like I'll be in the other room.
Yeah, and I didn't want
playing
it either.
Playing with your dozen kittens.
Right, exactly. So I didn't want that thing either. Mm. But so we have... And as we get closer, because it was really like, hey, man, we're coming there. We're going to get married.
Okay, wrap it up.
What?
Let's get to the double wedding part.
Oh, so that's what I was just about to introduce was
okay.
The double wedding part. So anyway, long story short, he had been dating this woman for quite a while. And he brought up, he goes, listen, it's about time. What if we do a double wedding?
And I was thinking, well, I have 100 weddings. I can share one. Sure.
Right.
I could be generous.
So that's where we were headed. But for the most part, it was like, listen to me, man. This doesn't need to be a special thing. You marry us and I'll marry you.
Under a tree.
Under a tree in a shady glen. And he's like, well, but while you're going to have 100 weddings, this is going to be my, you know, this is going to be my one. And so we can have a party, right? And it was like, well, how do I argue with that? And it was like, okay, we can have a party, but, you know, can it really, it doesn't need to be a big deal. And really, it's much more about sort of like the love. And, you know, I mean, as you might imagine, all of the things that I was hoping to get from this wedding, none of them happened. Not a single one. Where
Except
it was like,
me.
Yeah, no, I mean, you were great. But it was like, hey, man, when are we just going to have a slice of pizza? And I was like, well, no, but we have to do a tour. There was just always these
By
other
the way,
things.
The tour was kind of great.
No, the tour
Belgrade
was great.
Belgrade is a great city.
Belgrade is a great city. From what I remember, it was one of the safest in Eastern Europe. And it was clean. And the food was good. And the people were nice for the most part. Except for the ones that we were
Except
to
for
know.
The ones at our wedding.
Except for the ones at our wedding.
With a couple of exceptions, there were
right.
a couple of nice people there. Yeah, beautiful architecture, really intriguing history, very, very cool city. I don't want to turn anybody off to the city or the country just because we had a terrible wedding.
Right. Well, and even then, it wasn't like, you know.
Well, and we had two anyway.
Yeah, no, we did. We did end up having two weddings there. I mean, again. Belgrade is an interesting place with, I mean, it's beautiful and food is good, which is stuff that's very close to my heart. And so anyway, long story short, he had not done any of the preparations for this wedding that we were having. So his job was to get everything done while we were there, which was only going to be like for 3 or 4 days. So it was a limited amount of time. And so long story short, he kept wanting to like, hey, man, we need to have this wedding. And I'm like, well, when are we going to be able to talk with each other? When can we sit down? And so that never actually took place.
And part of the
all.
Challenge was that his girlfriend is a celebrity.
Well, yeah. And I don't want to get into too many
details.
Well,
we don't want to.
That.
Yeah, we're not going to out anybody. But that also kind of raised the stakes where it was more important to them to have something fancy, which is fair enough, than what we wanted.
Yeah,
or needed.
Exactly. And so I think by the time the actual wedding had taken place and I hadn't had a chance to see him, and I think if I, you know, there was a point where he made a speech, and I think it was that speech. I've never had the because we recorded this. So we never had the speech translated, but I imagine that if we did, it would probably be something to the effect of, well, here's this old friend that I have who's an idiot who doesn't want to have a party for a wedding and doesn't want to meet my friends. And that's what I think happened.
Which it was not true. I mean, we were not into the party, but there was a lot of expectations of us that hadn't really been clearly expressed, and a lot of resentment towards us that we totally didn't see coming. And so, and just really strange politics between friends where the bride's best friend wanted to charge her, what, €1,000 an hour to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a lot of stuff. And by the way, if you have had your own sort of wedding nightmare, feel free. We're happy to discuss it. 888-627-6008 to call in the show. Let us know what's going on with your life. And so that's what I think happened.
Well, but the point is, so, you know, I'm in my little $20 Ross dress. The other bride looks like a star, like the star she is. Beautiful woman. And Devin and I are exchanging vows first. And when Devin starts to give this beautiful speech about a man has different faces, that, and there's one face that he only shares with his bride, and I'd never heard that before, and I was going, oh, my God, this is poetry. And we had hecklers. And it never occurred to me that anybody would heckle a wedding. And that was a really important moment of crystal clarity when I realized how that the wedding is not the prize. And that's the mistake I think people pouring so much money and so much anxiety and so much pressure into the wedding, especially we as little girls, are just like fed so much fairy tale stuff about that wedding moment. But that's not really what it's about. When this was going on, I remember thinking and just looking at Devin, thinking, I don't have to go home with any of those people. I'm going home with Devin, and that's the prize. The marriage is the prize. The wedding can be a really wonderful experience. It's very important to me to hear his vows. It's very important to me to express my vows and choose him over and over again, especially getting to do it with usually really supportive communities in beautiful places. But at the end of the day, it's never about the wedding itself. The real prize is the day-to-day living with Devin. That is the treasure. And that's what I want people to remember. That's why I wanted to discuss Serbia. When I threw my bouquet, it landed on the ground with a thud. Like nobody would even pick up the bouquet when I tossed it.
Oh yeah, no, it bounced 3 times and then rolled under a table. And I think it stayed there for the rest, I think it stayed there for the rest of the night.
Oh my God. Oh
Yeah,
my
it
God.
was, well, I mean, I think it's one of those things that, the way I kind of equate it is I remember traveling, backpacking when I was sort of in my mid-20s. And there was this point where I was in the Czech Republic, and if there was like one last cupcake in the bakery, I was the guy who got it. And if there was one last seat on the bus to go to, to some town, I got it. Like all of the things that happened went so well that by the time I got to Poland, and by the way, this is not a knock on Poland. I think it's just one of those knocks on like, oh, we've entered a karmic experience where without question, everything I touched turned to mud. Like you could do no right. Whereas in the Czech Republic, I could do no wrong. And I think there was an element of, I think that I had built, at least in my own mind, of like this hope of like, oh my God, here's this dear old friend I haven't seen in 20 years. Just lock us in a room and break out the coffee and let's just stay up all night and talk and maybe play guitar. Like I wanted those kinds of moments. And then I think what ended up happening is that his life is just where it's at this moment. And it wasn't about let's sit and go through pots of coffee and
Oh, but
talk and
let's talk
filter
some more
about
about
money.
how horrible the wedding was.
You enjoy that. I
Oh,
think you actually enjoy sort of the misery.
it makes it different if it were the only wedding I ever had, but it's a story. At one, I was introduced to, I guess, some famous Serbian musician who took one look at me in my white gown and my wedding veil, obviously a bride, and he said, "Is she rich? If she's not rich, I won't sleep with her." Like as if that's a possibility. Hello, I'm getting married to somebody who's not you. And that same guy, then when our friends were exchanging their vows, he just lay down on the damn floor in front of them. It was the weirdest thing. And then I think, I don't know, were you
Well,
about to get it?
he was, what was he wearing? For the wedding, he put on a jean jacket and, I mean, it was like some bizarre kind of postmodern wedding experience. It was just a,
And then you almost got into a fist fight.
well, there was a moment. There really was. And I'm a fairly, what am I? I guess the best way to describe it, I was discussing this yesterday, is that my sun sign in astrology, for those who care, is a sidereal Taurus, which means I would just assume lay in a field and smell the flowers and feel the breeze and watch the clouds roll by. That makes sense to me. I'd like to read a book. Is there a place where I could just read a book quietly.
You were reading a book until the show went live. We are
Yes, no,
taking
that's
you
true.
away from a book right
I
now.
am, and it's actually very disconcerting to me because I was in the middle. I wasn't even at like at a chapter break. So I'm in the middle of it, and I'm going to have to deal with that thing later by picking up that book. But so that's kind of part of my thing. And then my moon sign is Aries, which means there's a part of me that just assume run over you. But it takes, because it's sort of like I've got that
It takes a
Taurian
lot to
thing,
get there.
it takes a while to get there. But there was this point where I think what I ended up doing, it had been going so poorly at this wedding, is that at some point I went to Morgana and I said, you know, I'm either going to take this bottle and smash, and I was pointing at the guy in the jean jacket, and I'm going to smash him in the face with this bottle. And I was really like, that wasn't one of those things that
I
I
didn't
say.
believe you, by the way.
No, I was like, oh no, I'm getting arrested tonight. That was actually the thing. I'm going to be thrown in a Serbian jail in about 30 seconds for smashing a celebrity in the
Oh
face
dear.
with a bottle. And so obviously it never happened, because I
Well,
gave the
you
two
gave me a
choices.
choice,
I gave
yeah.
a choice, which was I'm going to hit him in the face with a bottle, or we can leave now.
And I was very, very happy to leave. I was just hanging around for you to be polite because these were your friends.
Right.
So we dashed out in the rain and hopped a bus very, very,
Didn't even know what direction we were going. In the
very
rain at night
graduates. Yeah,
in
there should have
Belgrade.
been Simon
Didn't
and Garfunkel soundtrack in the background.
we did, and we got on this bus and we're wearing sort of like, you know,
Our wedding clothes
our wedding
in
clothes in the rain in
the back of the
Serbia, and
bus.
people are very polite on a crowded tram when you're dressed in a wedding dress. And at some point it was like, I don't even know where we're going, but there was a point where it was
I
like,
did.
oh, you did? Well,
Yeah.
good. So anyway, we ended up finding our hotel. And the bright spot was that I kind of knew that this could happen. Because I
Unless you
knew up to
told
that point it
me.
wasn't going well, I knew it wasn't going well. So
Yeah.
I had this sense before we left. I think we both had befriended the woman who worked at the hotel where we were staying.
Oh, adorable girl who was a crazy fan of the bride in our double wedding. I told
Right.
because she was a celebrity, and the woman at our front desk used to dress up like the other bride when she was a girl.
Right, because they had stopped by and picked us up, so she
Yeah.
saw us with said
With so and
celebrity.
so, yeah.
And so I had said to her, I said, hey, listen, if it's a mess, she knew we were getting married. We were like walking out the
It's
door, and
kind
I
of
said to
obvious.
her,
Yeah.
I said, hey, listen, we're
The
going to go
wedding
get
veil tends to
married,
give that away.
but I feel like this could go bad. And I don't think I've ever said that, certainly about a wedding. I thought, this could go bad. And if it indeed does go bad, will you marry us if we need you to get married? And she looked at me like, what? That sounds insane. And I imagine that it is. But she said, yeah, okay, we'll do that.
By the way, if anybody listening has a wedding horror story, and this is not a contest, but share it. We want to hear it. And what did you learn from it? I think they're always lessons. Our phone number, if you want to call in, is 888-627-6008. Okay, and go on, Devin.
And so, anyway, long story short, once we made it back, it was still fairly early, but you know, I mean, it was like the hotel that we were staying in was kind of, you know, quiet at that point. And so anyway, soon as I walked in with my wife in the wedding dress, I kind of was
Dripping
like
wet from the rain.
dripping wet from the rain. I was like, hey, this did not go as we would have hoped. And so she was like, okay, let's go to the cafeteria. So that's what we did. We went to the cafeteria, and she spoke English well enough.
And somebody is walking to our front door.
Yeah, that is an
Very
odd
odd,
thing.
Dick. Oh, but we're on live radio. So
Yeah, we
we
are.
got married in the cafeteria. Do you want to handle that and I'll keep talking?
Yeah, you keep talking. You tell a story.
And it was adorable. She quoted Dean Martin, and that's amore, in the immortal words of Dean Martin. And it was charming, and we got to exchange our vows. and we had our wedding because it's really about the vows. And so that was wedding 7A and 7B, which, by the way, is just another reason that it is really helpful to get married a lot. If one wedding doesn't work out, you can always have another. A cousin of mine got married a couple of years ago and was really stressed out by her grandmother being very, very controlling and making it a difficult experience. And I recommended to her that this public wedding is the wedding for family and to re-exchange her vows by herself on her honeymoon with her husband, so that I think every couple should have the wedding that is just for them. Like these really big family weddings, which I think are important, very important rituals. And I've heard from so many couples as we've traveled who, you know, hear about what we're doing, and we hear a lot of wedding stories. And I hear very, very often that the big wedding wasn't for them. It wasn't romantic. It wasn't connected. It was for family. And the idea that they can just have their own wedding for them really is, I think, a great do-over for a lot of people. That's actually one of the reasons why we came up with our top five tips to renewing wedding vows. And last week, I thought we would get through all five, but Devin likes to foil me. We have a very different tempo. I like to go fast. Devin likes to go slow.
Right.
So we only got through one, barely.
I don't even remember us getting through one.
Well, the first tip on renewing wedding vows is make a list and verbalize the things you appreciate and admire about your partner as a human being and as your partner in life and love.
Wow, I did not make this list.
Well, you've made three of them and I made two of them.
Did I write that?
No, I wrote it. That's why it's so good.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Number two, which we did not.
Oh, we're not even discussing number one. We're just moving ahead.
Well, we discussed it last week.
We did?
Yes.
Was I there?
Sort of.
Okay. Well,
do you have anything you want to add to that?
Make a list and verbalize the things you appreciate and admire about your partner as a human being, as opposed to something else.
Well, as a human being, like, I admire stuff about you as just you. And then I admire stuff about how you are with me. You are very kind to me. You're very affectionate. You're very tolerant of my constant need to bother you and kiss you and grab you and distract you. And as a human being, I really, really, I admire your integrity. Mm-hmm. I admire your curiosity. I admire your generosity to other people and kindness. I admire your wit and your charm.
And by the way, I was very kind at the door with that guy just now.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know if I was. I just said we couldn't talk. He says he's a neighbor. He'll come back in an hour.
Okay, great. Great. So there's a lot that I admire about you. By the way, you know, I was mentioning we were going to talk about tips for when you're in a long relationship and things sort of just devolve and maybe becomes less romantic, more roommates, less connected. I would say one of the best tips, and anybody got a relationship issue, just want to chat, you can call in anytime. But I think one of the best tips is what I call appreciation loops. By the way, I didn't invent this. But it's just, if you're in the middle of a disagreement or not in the middle of a disagreement or a challenge, it's like it's carving out a second and just going, I really appreciate you because. And don't plan it. Just see what comes out. And it's like feeding the relationship. I'm really into gardening these days and feeding plants and stuff like that. And appreciation loops are just like feeding your love bank. So especially if you're having challenges, it's really a great trick to reverse this spiral of negativity and just, scratch the record, stop for a second, and just really honestly share with your partner what you appreciate about him or her. It's really sweet. That's, I think, honestly, what our wedding vows, they are appreciation loops. They are saying, I love you, and this is what I love about you. Which brings us to number two of five tips for renewing your wedding vows. Share why you are choosing to recommit to your partner, and what is your dream for your future together? Again, it's back to, this sense of reconnection is when you're with a partner for a really long time, the dreaminess, the romantic fantasies that you stirred in each other in the beginning can wear off and kind of fall away and be replaced by very boring day-to-day life of washing dishes and taking out garbage and paying bills. And one of the things about exchanging vows and appreciation loops is going back into this dream of the relationship, the dreaminess for the future together. So again, tip number two, share why you're choosing to recommit to your partner and what is your dream for your future together. So I wrote those two. Those are new to Devin. What do you have to say about them?
What do I have to say about them? Well, I mean, I think the reason why you choose to recommit to somebody and why you say these things where you're using sharing it, I think it's more important that you say it for yourself. In other words, it's great to know, it's great for the other person to know, hey, I'm marrying you because I love you and you're smart and you're funny and all of those wonderful other sort of qualities that we hope somebody sees in us, right? All the value that we offer. And I think it's important for that person to hear those kinds of things. I also think it's really important because we get so mired in our sort of like our mundane lives that it's easy to forget why we chose somebody to begin with. I think it's just as important for me to hear the things that I say as it is for you to hear them. I think it's one of those things that's sort of like, I don't know if it's an appreciation loop. That would be a term that doesn't fit into my boy brain all that well. But I do think that you say these things to each other that have import. And because it reminds me of the import of the relationship, but it reminds me of why I picked one person as opposed to some other person, right? The idea is that we've got all this huge palette of human beings running around, and once we really find a connection with one person, I think it's important to attempt to maintain that connection. And what do you do? So, when you're talking about this affirmation or appreciation loop, that's the word. The appreciation loop, if somebody gets into a fight, I don't even know if it's about an appreciation loop. I think it's just like, do something other than just fighting. Like, put a stop on that thing.
Well, this is something you do really well without knowing that you do it. I don't know where you learned it or if it's part of your Kabbalah studies, but you are really, and this is one of the reasons we're together, is not only do you refuse to leave, and you'll say things like, I married you 25 times and I'm not going anywhere, which is, exactly what I need to hear. But then you also make a case for the relationship and what we have in common. And you are choosing and recommitting in that moment when you're advocating to me why we should stay together. And that makes it safe for me to soften up and feel less frightened, feel less freaked out, feel less defensive, feel less like I need to fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you start getting beyond the parts that we fight about, because most of the fights that we have, and I'm not, when I say we, I'm really just like talking about the planet. After hearing the amount of the kinds of arguments that we get into, a lot of it's just sort of like a matter of framing and a matter of interpretation, and and sometimes we just don't agree. We don't agree on certain ideologies, and so we can glom onto those differences and make them bigger. And then we get to, then we have this feeling and this justification of arguing. Like, I think the worst thing in the whole world is justified anger. Like, I'm right, so I need to win, and I'm going to fight for this thing. And I think a lot of these battles are just, is that the deal? Is that why you chose this person so you could win the fight? Sounds like a bad deal
Well,
for everybody.
Earl, I think it was maybe last week, and this is going to sound sort of out of left field, but I think it has to do with that framing, is you can either decide to be really annoyed by a person, or you can find what they do really funny and endearing. So I was listening to you complain about me and my ladybugs to your friend last
Oh
week.
yeah, that is
Do you want to
ridiculous.
talk about that?
Do we need to? But
Yes.
yes, as we say in unison. So here's the setup. The setup is that my lovely wife bought these sort of plastic shells that stack on each other that then you can fill with dirt and seeds, and then it has a complicated water filtration system that does something or other, and it's supposed to never have bugs that eat the plants. But of course, it doesn't work. So
Hundreds of dollars later,
the plants are being eaten by these microscopic bugs. So Morgana comes home with like a hummus-sized
container.
container filled with ladybugs, with the idea that I guess the ladybugs are going to eat the little bugs. And then of course I'm thinking, oh right, okay, so then we're going to need to get a tray of locusts to eat all the ladybugs. And then we're going to need murder wasps to eat the locusts. And then we're probably going to need praying mantises. And then I don't know, we get some sort of a flying carnivorous squirrel that's going to eat all the praying mantises. But there was like, it's like, okay, so we're looking at this thing and I'm reading the instructions. And they have to be sprinkled on the plants at certain times. And there's like a handful of steps that you have
Starting
to
with
deal with
put
the
it in the
ladybugs.
refrigerator, which I did.
You did. And then, of course, here was my favorite part. When I called from the other room, I said, hey, have you read the instruction to the ladybugs? And then there's this pause. And then I hear, yes, of course.
At the store, yes.
Yeah, no, see, I don't know. See, the pause to me is more telling than the actual words that you said. So that said, there's a point where my wife is standing next to one of these towers, and she's out there, and the ladybugs are now apparently splattered all over this. They've fallen out of the tower, and she needs to collect them, but I can't come
And put them
out.
back in. They keep jumping out.
Right, they're jumping out. I guess they're committing suicide or whatever it is that ladybugs do in these trays. And
They're not dead, they're still crawling.
no, I want them to live good. I guess I'm being facetious or something, and I probably shouldn't. But so the ladybugs are on the ground, and she's collecting them all and telling me, no, you can't come out here.
I didn't want you to step on any of the ladybugs.
That's correct. And so I can't come out because of the ladybugs. And I'm already envisioning, like, and she's telling me to go away, but I can't leave her out there because there are coyotes and raccoons and other nuttiness. So I can't go far away. So it's like it's past midnight. And so I have to sit
The
there.
city. For anybody
But
listening, we live in the city
there's
for 5 years. I've never been attacked by a coyote or raccoon
but
once.
because I'm always looking out the window while you're dealing with ladybugs in the middle of the night. So I'm sitting there waiting for it to come in, and I know what's going to happen, which means now there has to be a conversation about the ladybugs and the meaning of the ladybugs and the beauty of the ladybugs. And all the while I'm pulling ladybugs out of your hair. Oh, the one went down my shirt. And so now I have to
That's
deal with
true. Yeah.
so now I have to deal with all the ladybugs. And I have to go then watch where I'm stepping and put all the ladybugs back in their container because now you're covered in ladybugs. And so that's what the life is.
And this is what Devin complains to his friends about, and I'm listening to him in the other room laughing so hard that
But
tears are
okay,
coming
so,
down my face.
but in fairness, it's less a complaint It's less a complaint. And I just did as I just wrote about this exact same experience that we're having. It's less of a complaint and really much more about what is a relationship. And the relationship is totally about, you know, the weddings are great. We hold hands and we kiss and all that good stuff, right? Even the bad wedding was still like, oh, this is sort of like the graduate. We're having our experience. We're on a runaway tram in the middle of Belgrade after dark in the rain, wearing a wedding dress. And so, right, we're having that experience. And the ladybugs is totally much more about what real relationships are about. Like, I don't get the ladybugs at all. Like, I don't get the plastic containers with all the seeds. Like, it's all of it's just like, wow, this is a project that I don't want, but I'm in the project because somebody has to move the shelves that are filled with dirt, right? So we can have a strawberry like that is I don't even know how to make a small, like, I've never seen a strawberry.
The strawberry was about the size of a blueberry, our one strawberry.
I was going to say it's actually the size of one of those sections of a blackberry. It's like a little, it's like a micro dot
no,
of a berry.
Certainly it was the smallest, size of one healthy blueberry.
The smallest berry I've ever seen.
And it's the only one we've gotten. This whole vegetable and fruit tower experiment has so far been pretty disastrous.
Right. I think
so. I bought a second tower thinking that the other tower
that
might work
more
better.
Would be better.
Yeah. Well, it's a different tower.
Yes.
Other people
it is.
Seem to be having success.
And for those of you who are gardeners at home, you may know that this tower is green plastic versus gray plastic. I don't know if that makes a difference, but it is a second. It is a second tower.
Oh.
And so now we have twice as much. Dirt.
Plants not growing.
Right.
Meanwhile, I threw some seeds in the earth in the corner of the yard, and those are doing great.
Right.
Despite all of the hype and hoopla about the towers. So
one day we're going to get a celery stalk, and it's going to be the most expensive celery stalk I have ever eaten
yes.
in my life.
Yes.
And so why are we talking about this? Because I think that this whole thing, that's really what the relationship is. The relationship is dealing with this stuff. And sort of like for my side of things, it's like, so I go to a bookstore yesterday and of course I come home with three books. And that's on top of like two other books that I found earlier in the week. And this is an ongoing struggle. Well, my wife has ladybugs that eventually fly away. I have
your books don't.
My books don't. They take root. They take root and become piles of emerging subjects that I will never completely understand, but I'm happy to make piles.
Everywhere in the house and the garage, everywhere.
It's like a little library, but anything you want to know about, it's here.
We have the Library of Alexandria in our house.
And
when
think that's
you're not
valuable.
Getting books, you're getting guitars.
That's right.
And if I sneak up on you when you are on the computer, I know that I'm going to catch you watching guitar porn.
Yes, I will. And by the way, I've just seen a purple burst sort of Telecaster model that I think I may be getting that.
Of
that
course
may,
you
that
will.
May be in my near future.
Of course you will.
Because one person cannot play more than one guitar at a time. But there should be guitars lined up behind that one person in case someone were to take a picture. But that's what the relationship is. The relationship is sort of like dealing with the other person's eccentricities and good intentions and all that other stuff. Because that's what the relationship is.
And really, I would say exaggerating the good qualities. There have to be good qualities, or why would you be with that person in the first place? And you shouldn't be with that person if you can't find good qualities. But I think that, you know, one of the pieces of glue that keeps us happy. I don't know about you, because what is there in me to exaggerate? But I'm just teasing you.
Yes, I know.
But, you know, it's very, very easy for me to see what is good in you and to focus on what is good in you. And that just leaves me delighted day after day.
Well, I'm glad you are having delight. And for those at home, we want your delight as well. So we're obviously going through this list of things that are about renewing your wedding vows and sort of like leading a happier...
And things are not always delightful. And when we really do fight, it's really painful because the stakes are high because the good is so good. And so one of the things that really does help is continually choosing each other over and over again. Even if we can't leave the country, I think on our fifth anniversary of our first wedding, we re-exchanged vows here at home. And we may do that again this year before it's out, just to do it. Now we're going to move to Devin's part of the list.
Are we moving to my cut? Did I write these things?
Yeah, you wrote the second half.
I wrote the second half. Okay.
And we have about 15 minutes left if you want to call in and chat and share your own relationship experience or travel or wedding story. Lines are open at 888-627-6008. And if not, we still have plenty to talk about.
So wait, did we move on from Serbia yet? Have we done the Serbia experience?
I thought we did Serbia. Was there anything left?
I'm trying to think. Actually, yes. You know, I wanted to say that Serbia, while it was sort of a disappointment as a wedding, I'm glad we had it. I'm glad that we had this sort of unusual experience in terms of wedding. I think it was important to kind of walk through that with, you know, well, fortunately, I wasn't taken away to a Serbian jail. I'm pleased about that. But it was like, I think it was worthwhile. I think we sort of planned it out. I think we went in there with sort of kind of appropriate expectations. And just to say, you know, I did reach out to that friend in Serbia a couple times. It did not pan out. But, you know, you never know. The world is a funny place. So even these sort of these challenges that we have between friends, you know, I still have a strong feeling that one's going to be I think we're going to right that ship one of these days.
I hope so. I know he's important to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think our history, you know, I think shared history is important. I think to acknowledge it, we don't have to love it. But I think it's important to just kind of say, hey, yeah, we went through these periods of times in our lives together. Like, I knew you when you were a little kid.
And he was a very interesting person, very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So is that what's happening now? We're going back to our list. Are we on number three?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you like to read it?
All right. Number three was make a list of things your partner wants and needs, or wants/needs. In other words, part of that list making, and this is why I included that, is that it's important not only do I make the list, but what's really important, the underlining thing, is to kind of actually know what it is that they like, right? Not only do I want to give her things that she needs, which means she may not even know that she wants those things, but I also want to be aware of the things that she does, in fact, like. So I want to kind of have a handle on what do I think my wife deserves? What do I think she's going to enjoy? And of course, part of the fun of that is verifying these things. What's going to be useful to her? What's going to make her happy? What's going to make her life easier? All those kinds of things. I think those are important for the spouse to know. And I'm not just talking to, you know, men or women who are with women. I'm talking to sort of like, yeah, get to know what it is that your guy likes. Get to know what is going to be useful to him. And then kind of start moving on from that point of view.
And this reminds me of a post that I saw earlier in the week from someone who was feeling really hurt because she felt that she was doing things, this was for friends, but we can translate this to a relationship, where she goes out of her way to do things and then there's no appreciation expressed by the recipient. And I think one of the pieces of that is if you're doing something that is not meaningful or asked for or even maybe desired by the person you're doing it for, it's not going to really be appreciated. And you'll just get a lot more gratification if you actually do give somebody what they want, there's going to be a lot more just natural appreciation, a lot less friction, and you don't have to work as hard.
Yeah, I remember this is going to sound like a downer, but I think at the end it's actually a really good thing, is that giving somebody what it is that they want. And really, I got this piece of advice from a friend of mine while I was going through a breakup, and it was terrible. And at the time, I totally didn't want to hear it, but it makes sense. So I'm going to say it because it's the idea of taking love to the extreme. And he said that if you love somebody, you want to give them what they want, even if it's not you. That means you let somebody else go, even if you love them, to let them go find the thing that they need in their life that will make them thrive. And that includes part of that experience is, you know, potentially breaking up, which is sort of like terrible and uncomfortable and weird and challenging. But I think it's very much about offering love wherever it is that you can.
Well, and that comes back to why I like midlife love so much better than when I was all young and pretty in my teens and my 20s and 30s, is by the time I met you in my mid 40s, now you and I are both in our 50s, we had had our heart broken so many times and we had broken so many hearts that we were in a better position to choose what we really want and what we need. And we had far, far better skills for communicating what we want and what we need. Being young sucked. Less back pain, in all fairness. Much less back pain, better eyesight.
Oh, yeah. Those are true. True but words were never spoken.
Love is way better.
Yeah. All right. So do we go to number four?
Go to number four. We are going through the top five tips to renewing wedding vows.
Okay. So offer, and this is, of course, sort of like a 3A, offer things you can do to make those things happen. Going back to make a list of all the things your partner wants slash needs. So now you offer things that you can do to make those things happen. These are actions. They are not ideas. This is not saying, I support your endeavors. This is actually, how can you participate in making those dreams come true? Something, in other words, an action that you can accomplish. So the way I've phrased it here, because that's what I do, if you offer a pineapple upside down cake, make sure you have pineapples to start.
So what would that sound like in a wedding vow?
What would that sound like in a, well, you know, in a wedding vow, you can't really quite take the action, as it were. I think this is more about, like, if you're going to be offering this, let's say, if I say, I want to give you harmony in your life, that means the next time you think you can pick a fight, don't, because that is an action. That's a choice that you're making that manifests in something where you're not going to take it to the next level. You're not going to say that unkind word that's going to sort of, it was this old poem, drop a pebble in water and watch the ripples expand and expand and expand. And so that's what we don't want. We don't want sort of like dropping that as the poem, if I remember correctly, said, drop an unkind word or careless and watch the ripples expand, expand, expand. And that's what we don't want. We want to maintain that relationship. We want to offer it harmony, even when things outside kind of suck.
Well, and when we first exchanged wedding vows, you proposed to me over Skype while I was in Bali and you were in South Africa. And you told me to make a list of things that we want for the other person. And I didn't even hear that correctly. I thought things that you want from the other person. So I came to our first wedding with my shopping list of the things I wanted from you.
Yes.
And then I was completely humiliated when you responded with all of the things that you wanted for me.
Right. And if I remember correctly, this is why, ever since that first wedding, you have then made me go first in all of the vows.
Yes, because you're better at it than I am. You raise my game, which is a side tip, not in the five, is make the person who's best at it go first. Because then the not best person will at least do better.
Right. Or be humiliated and caught with their, you know, with their guard down, going, "What? I thought we were playing a different game entirely here."
Well, we don't write anything, so we just
Right.
speak
But
it in the moment.
I think what you bring up is kind of an important point. I think it's what most people's natural inclination to do is when I talk to women who are looking for a relationship, more often than not, matter of fact, I would argue the vast majority of the time, people are apt to bring their laundry list. These are, tall, dark, and handsome. He needs to make six figures plus, and all of these things of like, here's all the things that I'm gonna get. And that's great. And truthfully, like if you have your list of things of a person and qualities, you should have all those things. And I believe in you. And if you are not really in tune with what you're bringing to the party in order to get all of these incredibly valuable things, then I think you're only part of the way towards that long-term meaningful relationship.
And
Does that
that,
sound harsh?
no, I think actually that brings up a real problem in dating, especially online dating. And we should do an episode just about online dating because, especially with quarantine and the pandemic, less so in some other countries, but very much so in the United States. Online dating and building a virtual relationship is actually a really good place to start. And the reason I'm thinking about that is because I have heard criticisms of women's profiles. And this was a problem with my profile before the profile that I wrote that brought you in. The problem with women's profiles is they tend to be a very naggy, long shopping list of I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, which is very appealing to women, but to men, it sounds nagging. And the problem with most men's dating profiles is the I work hard and play harder, and all the other cliches that go on after that sound very braggy and are appealing to men, but not appealing to women. And the whole point of a dating profile is to appeal to the person that you actually want to attract to you. So we should have an episode on that. And yeah, that shopping list of what I want is not attractive in a dating profile. And apparently, I'm discovering at this moment, not attractive in a wedding vow.
Oh, no, but you did great. You've made up for it. You've made up for it tenfold. So we're totally good. And
And we have
what?
1 minute, so should we? Yeah, what is the last tip for
So
renewing your
we have
wedding vow?
1 minute for this one thing. So we'll be going on through. Should we just dive in?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, follow through. Without this, there's little point to being in a relationship. This is my harsh comment of the week. I thought I could have, maybe my earlier comment was probably the harsh comment of the week. But I think the idea is if you're creating
You just do
a,
harsh well.
right, maybe I do. If we are doing some sort of relationship, right, i.e., a partnership, some sort of a union of two people getting together, and whether it's a friendship or something else, I think we still have to make sure that we treat that thing as valuable. And I think this goes to much, I mean, we could probably talk about a much larger thing about integrity.
But we are out of time, so
Are we?
yeah. So join us at crazysexymidlifelove.com. Download Devin's ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. And guys, if you want to know what Devin is telling the women you like, you can download it too. Join our community on Facebook, and we will see you on our next episode of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.